Record. You have to record your own self.
All right, I'm recording my own self.
And you have headphones, right? I can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, cripes.
You know.
We should do a sync clap before I forget it. We should do a sync clap. Here it comes.
All right.
One. Oh, no. Okay. You have to say you're ready.
I'm ready.
And then, okay. One, two, three. Discord does a thing where it interprets the noise of a single hand clap as like noise it should filter out. So maybe you didn't hear me clap.
Oh, I clapped.
But you clapped at the right time.
I clapped at the right time?
I didn't hear you clap.
Oh,
no,
weird.
Yeah. But and did you hear me clap or didn't you not notice because you were too busy clapping?
I thought I heard you clap, but I was also busy clapping. So it's possible that my brain stuck a clap in for you. Yeah, because it really expected there to be one there.
Makes sense.
Yeah, the psychological principle of closure.
We had in Psychology of Language was the name of the class.
That sounds neat.
It was kind of neat.
Okay.
We did an experiment where, like, you would play two different sounds in different ears. Like, so the left channel is all a person saying one word, and the right channel is all a person saying a different word. And your brain would trick you into thinking that both channels were saying the same word that combined the sounds.
Oh, weird.
Two words. I'm not sure I remember this 100% correctly. But, like, it didn't work when the, and I'm not remembering this correctly either. It didn't work when the two sounds were sk and kl.
Huh. Interesting. So sk and
interesting if true, which is
interesting
not.
If true, but not true. But yeah, okay. Well, I feel like I just had a conversation with a large language model.
The explanation was, and here's the part that I do remember correctly.
Okay.
The professor was like, "Well, the reason this doesn't work, or the reasons, forget everything that I told you.
All right,
and just the end of the sentence is the reason is that in English we don't have the consonant cluster skla, so your brain doesn't feel like it can
skla."
And I was like, "That's interesting, but we do, like in the word sclerosis."
Oh, we totally do, like in the word sclerosis.
So I like reported this to, I think, my TA, who reported it to the professor, and I don't know what came of it, except that the TA told everyone in my lab group, make sure you write that thing about sclerosis in your lab report.
That's great. Good job.
Yeah, really great.
Yeah.
My proudest moment of undergrad.
Huh. There was also that Chrono Trigger character, Skla.
Wait, what?
That wasn't her name. That wasn't her name at all.
No.
Yeah.
What was it, though? You're messing with my head.
Skala? Shala? I don't know how you pronounce
it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Good old Shala. I did play Chrono Trigger, but I can't. I only remember, like, bits and pieces. Like, I cannot remember whether Shala was evil or her mom was evil.
Oh, I want to say, if anyone was evil, I want to say it was her mom.
Or was she the mom?
She was, so, did you play Chrono Cross? Because anything I tell you that I remember is going to be spoilers for Chrono Cross.
I have read spoilers for Chrono Cross.
Okay. Yeah. So it turned out that the point of, there was some kind of plot thing where she like got put in a bubble or sent back in time or something happened to her.
And was this Shala or her mom?
This was Shala. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it turned out the whole point of Chrono Cross was just figuring out what happened to Shala.
Cool.
Yeah. Which I don't think was the part of Chrono Trigger that anybody was like, but wait. There were all these other characters, but really, I'm super invested. What happened to Shala?
Oh, man. Have you read the website Chrono Compendium at all?
No.
Well, it's what I read instead of playing Chrono Cross or Chrono. Yeah, Chrono Cross.
Nice.
And there's a lot of articles by like people trying to suss out the like how time travel works in Chrono Cross. Like it's going to turn out that it does in fact make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's also, if you read all the articles, you get this amazing narrative where the, like, I don't know if it's one author or a consensus of authors is saying, no, Chrono Cross is actually good. No, it actually all makes sense. And then over the years, they're like, actually, no, it doesn't actually make sense.
No, it was bad. I'm sorry. It was bad the whole time. Sorry.
Which is an amazing thing to see on the internet, especially over a long period of time.
Yeah, normally people double down, I feel like.
Yeah.
You have to protect your ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else is there?
Yeah. Literally nothing.
Well, it's been great to catch up with you, Jenny.
Yeah, this has been fun. You want to do this again in like 8 years?
Yeah.
Cool.
I feel like I know this isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is true. I'm imagining the person listening to this who is like, oh yeah, Jenny and Ryan, like I love Clash of the Titans. I love listening to them. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't pay attention to anything else we do.
Right.
And so this really is as if we're coming back from the dead.
Coming back from the dead.
However many years.
Yeah.
And is like, I wonder what they've been up to and has no other way of finding that out. Listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're getting, like there's some kind of, you know, that thing where people in space get our TV broadcasts.
That thing where is that a thing or is that just a fact about the world?
Yeah. I think it's just a fact about the world.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They transmit TV to space.
They transmit TV to space. Yeah, it's something like that, but they're not capable of like accessing our Earth internet. It's just something, there's like some mainframe computer has fallen over and is just broadcasting all of Clash of the Titans, but it's like in real time. Like the way people will tweet Samuel Pepys's diary.
Oh, so it's just like they only have that one RSS feed.
They only have that one RSS, that's all they have. This and, like, cans of beans.
Phew. Good thing there's beans.
Yeah, yeah. So they must be going nuts. They must be like, when are Ryan and Jenny going to put out another Clash of the Titans?
Imagining that person, I feel like we're supposed to say, hey, what have you been up to? And then we, like, say stuff. But for one thing, we might have done that on the episode or two that we did two years ago.
Yeah. Although, you know, we didn't, didn't have 2 years ago was this baby.
There's a baby?
Yeah, I had a baby.
Okay. I guess I was, like, pimping you into saying you had a baby.
Oh.
So, good job. What is the baby?
He's a little guy.
Does it walk or talk?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not talking. He's walking around saying dada and mama and up, which sometimes means down. But sometimes means up. Yeah. It's basically like he's got an interact. That's his interact word. It's like press F.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a baby.
See, that's what I'm trying to do the math of what does the listener want to hear? And what does Jenny want to say?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, like, I want to tell you about my...
How much do I want to hear?
Yeah, how much do you want to hear?
How much do I want to serve anyone else's interests?
Right, right, right. Wow, it's a delicate equation.
Doing all that math is making it impossible for me to actually make any decisions. This is the real problem with utilitarianism. Is that in order to be a good utilitarian, you have to... Decision paralysis or just like decision... process.
Yeah.
Like, you would make the right decision if you had all the variables and you had time to math them correctly.
Right. I do feel like
and a for lot more on this, mm-hmm. play my games, The Little Match Girl, blah, 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 because a mm-hmm, deep mm-hmm. theme of those games is the real problem with utilitarianism that I just described. Mm-hmm, Another mm-hmm. theme of those games is the inaccessibility of other people's experience.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you cannot know what's going on for another person. And it's like this RSS feed thing going on.
Yeah.
All we have the life of Ebenezer Scrooge mm-hmm, are these mm-hmm. games that yeah. Ryan decides to make.
Yeah, and there's
all these other facts about her. So I feel I can see the light at the back telling me that I need to stop talking about this. And we have a game to play today. Yes.
We do. I was just wondering if you got like your wife or somebody to like, hey, I want you to comedy club me.
I thought that's what you were doing by saying yeah over and over again.
No, I was affirming you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I misread that.
Okay.
Good
to know.
By the way, we might have talked about this before. Ah, no. Forget it.
Okay.
I have a new game.
Woo!
To show to you, Jenny.
Uh-huh.
Right now, this game is in beta testing, so you are kind of testing it today.
All right.
Or if it turns out that everything works correctly, then it's out of testing because it's fine.
Okay, good.
And I should say that right now it's exclusive to members of my Patreon. They have the privilege of playing the broken first version.
Okay.
And you should sign up to my Patreon. I'm addressing the viewers.
Yeah. Because I'm already signed up to Ryan's Patreon, as should you be.
You are. As should you, someone else.
Someone else. Not you, Ryan. That wouldn't make any sense.
That's, you know what, our language does not have, you know how in some language you have like inclusive versus exclusive?
Yeah.
We need, now that podcasts have been invented, you, that means the person who is actually here or the person who is listening to this somewhere else.
Yeah. That would be really useful. And
from now on, that pronoun would be youb. So when I say youb, I'm talking to the audience.
Okay. I think we can get this to catch on.
The genitive form will be yourb.
So youb should get yourb butts over to Patreon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. Feeling good about it.
Do you know anything about this game that we're going to play today?
I know the title.
Okay.
And I have...
You saw the cover art?
Oh, I did see the cover art.
I like the cover art a lot.
Yeah.
I printed out the cover art or a printer-friendly version of it and taped it up over my desk to inspire me because I love the cover art so much. I wanted to make a game that was worthy of this art. And hopefully the viewer is able to see it.
Yeah, hopefully youb.
Hopefully youb are able to see it. Okay. The game is called, well, we'll get there in a second because I have an introductory text to read.
Oh, okay.
So now I am assuming the character of the narrator, which is famously difficult to discern on this podcast.
Right.
I'm drawing my hand over my face.
Okay. Which direction?
The mask is on.
Up? Up from your
down.
Chair? Down. Ooh, okay.
Down. Descending into the subterrain of fiction.
All right.
You and I have never met before. We are mysteries to each other. And yet, if I express to you a few hints, presently you will know precisely who I am. All the universe agrees in pronouncing that I am a clever man. I will not argue. Let the people speak as they will. A few even say that I am too clever. Alas, they know not how correct they are. I am far, far too clever. My intellect is a burden. So many facts and memories are forever swarming round my head, buzzing and hissing in my ear, so desperate not to be forgotten. My perspicacité, so sharp as to penetrate all obfuscation and deceit. Always she turns upon her master, and my own heart is wounded by the sad truth that it is my duty to reveal. But far worse than mere intelligence, worse even than my never-erring perception, is wisdom. Yes, for the wisdom to which I am condemned is the understanding of evil, and upon this unfortunate subject my wisdom is perfect. To stand in the presence of evil, to reveal its face, to wrestle eternally with evil and staunch so briefly its creeping over the world, this is the Sisyphean fate to which wisdom has doomed me. Oh, reader, I wish sorely that I were not so clever. By now, of course, you have guessed at my identity. Yes, I am the world-renowned genius Hercule Poirot. Please, my friend, press any key to continue.
Amazing. I would like to press any key, please, Mr. Poirot.
Ryan Veeder's Agatha Christie's The Murder on the Orient Express, a classic of the detective story canon, presented by Ryan Veeder, release 1, serial number 260619, Inform 7, version 10.1.2/D.
Ooh.
The era of 6/12 N is over.
We're on D.
D.
D?
It turns out that half of an N, two halves of an N make a D.
All right. I guess, yeah, if you had two lowercase N's.
Ooh. No. No, that doesn't make any sense.
Well.
Dining car. I am sitting in the dining car of the most famous of luxury trains, the Orient Express. I have nearly finished my meal, en croquette mignon du bœuf, expertly prepared by the master of chef, kept hidden in the train's secret kitchen compartment. Only one bite of my croquette mignon du bœuf remains. I am lifting it to my lips. From the forward car rushes my dear friend Captain Hastings. He is white as a sheet. I understand immediately what has happened. A murder, he gasps. I nod. C'était inévitable. Without relish, I consume the final morsel of croquette mignon de bœuf. With the white serviette, I dab at my lips and my moustache. I rise from the table with great dignity. Nothing in my manner betrays the immense weariness of a man who has been witness to so, so, so many murders.
Okay.
Command prompt.
Eat beef.
Bœuf.
Bœuf.
I can see no such thing!
Oh no.
Because he just, it says that he just
finished eating. Oh, he just finished eating it. Okay. Sorry. I was not caught up. Examine Hastings.
Hastings is my constant companion, the acutely insightful Sancho Panza to my supremely confident Quixote. I trust the man with my life and he me with his.
Okay. What are we doing? Talk to Hastings?
Okay. Yeah. Touch nothing, I command my dear friend. Now tell me everything you know. I heard a scream from Daisy's compartment, he says. I shouldn't have thought anything more of it, but she had been acting rather queer the previous night. So I forced the door to her cabin and... I purse my lips. Already my skull innards are fizzing with activity. Enough, I say. I shall investigate myself. Let no one disembark from the train. No one except for me, Hercule Poirot.
Okay. So let's see. I'm assuming we need to navigate to the murder car?
Sure.
Okay. So that like a look? Do we have exits?
Let's look, because it'll change.
Okay.
Dining car. I am sitting in the dining car of that most famous of luxury trains, the Orient Express. My dear friend Captain Hastings stands nearby. Outside the windows, the world with all its chaos rushes by in a meaningless blur. Within, each table is set with such orderliness. No one has ruined them yet. Even the ice she does not melt in the champagne bucket. Forward is the first-class passenger car, behind is the observation car. And, of course, I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot.
Right. Okay, let's go forward.
Okay, first-class passenger car. Here is the door to my compartment. Next to that is the door to Daisy Armstrong's compartment. Next to that is a dustbin. Next to that is the door to Ariadne Oliver's compartment. Behind is the dining car. Forward is a door marked with the number 2. This is the door to the second class passenger car. Of course, I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot.
Okay, we're a detective in an adventure game. We need to look in dustbin.
Look in dustbin. It is a lamentable truth of the detective's profession that he must every so often turn his gaze to the interior of such unsavory entities. And see, what do I find immediately upon peering in but a clue?
A clue? Examine what? Clue?
For a detective such as myself, such things are indispensable.
What?
C'est vrai.
Mais qu'est-ce que c'est?
Qu'est-ce que c'est? C'est un clou.
C'est un... Okay, take clue.
Absolument. Okay. I will guard this clue with my life.
Okay, okay. C'est bien. Let's enter Daisy's compartment. Perhaps there will be another clue.
Daisy Armstrong's compartment. The beloved actress and my dear friend Daisy Armstrong lies murdered in her train compartment bed. Next to her is an ashtray.
Quel dommage.
C'est triste.
Super triste. I hope people learned French in high school.
I hope they learned exactly as much as we learned, yeah, in high school.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And forgot as much as we forgot.
Absolutely. Examine ashtray.
A simple ashtray bearing the insignia of the Orient Express, like so many others aboard this world-famous train, as famous as myself, Hercule Poirot. In this ashtray, however, there is a clue.
Take clue.
I add the clue to my collection.
Great. We're doing such a good job at being a detective. Examine, yeah. Daisy.
The deceased is a woman of 19 years, a woman of slim figure and perfect facial proportion. My dear friend, the beloved actress Daisy Armstrong. The cause of death is apparent at once. She has been stabbed, alas, many, many times.
Oh, no.
From the coolness of her skin, I estimate she perished between 3 and 11 hours ago.
Okay. Very specific. No clues.
Oh. Pas de clue.
Pas de clue. Où est le clou?
Je ne sais pas où le clou est.
Oh! Okay, what else is in this room?
That might be it.
That might be it? Okay.
Her bed.
Oh, her bed. Examine bed.
Let's see. My reader, you may believe that the train compartment bed must be very cramped and uncomfortable. This is not so when the train in question is the famously luxurious Orient Express. This bed is the very cat's pajamas. Alas, the cat in question is my dear friend, the beloved Daisy Armstrong, cruelly murdered in the prime of her career.
Quel dommage!
Quel dommage.
Oh. Okay. All right.
You're all making me want to add quel dommage to a bunch of these sentences. But one of my principles as an author of games is to let the reader make jokes.
I think that's
like
great.
Every joke that you add, especially an obvious
joke, that the reader can't make. Yeah. That's really smart.
Exactement.
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder you are the round Hercule Poirot.
Avec I am the genius Hercule Poirot.
Le petit sel gris.
Oui. Oh, those cells.
Tell you about my phase in my 20s when I didn't want to read new books anymore, so I just read the complete works of Agatha Christie. For like the next decade.
Did you?
I did.
That's so you are ensconced in yes. the world of this game. You know all of the ins and outs.
Well, I don't know. I know who did it in the original, obviously. I mean, this is one of her more famous, if you Yeah. If you know who did it in a thing, it's likely to be this one. But I'm wondering.
Where?
I'm wondering where the twists and turns of Ryan Vedder, whose name is superimposed on top of Agatha Christie in the glorious cover art. Yeah.
Yes.
Are
well,
going to lead us.
It's an interesting question, the idea of like making an adaptation and what an adapter should do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without saying anything about my decisions making this game,
mm-hmm.
I think whenever we talk about, I don't know, make a book into a movie, I don't know, make the Myths of Hercules into Disney's Hercules, for example.
Right, right.
You can, like, watch that kind of movie and think, well, that wasn't in the book, that wasn't in the book, that it was this was different in the book, and, like, turn that into a list of faults with the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the original is there.
Right.
Like, what is the point of making a movie that it just is the same thing?
It's the same
what
thing.
What are you getting out of that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's a great question. Yeah. Did you see the newer Miss Marples? By which I mean at least a decade ago.
I don't think so. I might have seen the first one.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about the newer Miss Marples?
They changed the plots of many of those. They changed the identity of the culprit. And they also added lesbians.
Mmm, how courageous.
Yeah. Especially for 20 years ago.
It is courageous to add lesbians, even if those lesbians turn out to be the murderer.
Right, right, right. And I think, actually, in some cases they didn't, which is good. Because if you're a queer film historian, that's one of the problems.
Extra credit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is lesbians being murderers or insane asylum inmates?
Insane asylum inmates.
Yeah.
Or IAIs.
IAIs. IAI. IAIAIAI. These lesbians. They won't
sing
stop doing
don't
murders.
Cry.
Okay. Let's get out of here and go to Ariadne Oliver's compartment because I'm an Ariadne Oliver super fan. I love an author self insert that's like messy and irritating.
Mmm, yes. Well, let's see Ariadne here and then find out if we have more
right,
to say.
All right.
My dear friend Ariadne Oliver sits here, gazing distractedly out the window. Sitting next to her is a hatbox.
Okay.
Her hatbox.
Her hatbox. Talk to Ariadne.
Ariadne, tell me right now, what do you know of this murder? I must have access to all information.
Murder, she cries. What murder? This is the first I'm hearing of it.
I nod smugly. That itself is a useful bit of information, madame. I thank you most sincerely.
Okay. Can we ask her about her hatbox?
Ask her about hatbox. Use talk to interact with most characters.
Okay.
We can try to talk to her again.
Okay.
That's a little trick I'm giving you.
Okay.
Give me the gist of this murder you're solving, Poirot. Ariadne makes as if to begin taking notes. It'll be good material for my next book. My work is not this stuff of your silly books, I bellow, ironically, and I do not discuss ongoing investigations. You may read of it in the paper. Ariadne crosses her arms and sulks. This matters not to me.
Okay. Can I just look in her hat box right in front of her?
Look in hat box. A hat box is not so notable an item on a train, but nothing escapes the notice of the great Hercule Poirot. What I'm seeing here is that it is giving you the description, even though it's not noting that it's closed.
Ah.
So I'll just make a note.
Okay, okay. Open hat box?
Open hat box. I open the hat box, revealing a clue.
Take clue.
You got it, sweetheart.
Oh, is that what the game says?
No, it says I add the clue to my collection.
Okay. I guess that would be out of character. That's like a Hastings talking to Miss Lemon.
Mmm.
Yeah. And then she'd be like, I'm going to report you to HR once HR is invented. Okay. All right. Let's head out. Was there anything else in here? Just trying to help us.
The door to my compartment. Okay. And then those two other compartments in the dustbin.
Right.
And I may go forward or back or out.
Yeah. Well, let's see what's in our compartment.
All of my effects are here. Every little thing is in its place. Mais non! Where is my mustache comb?
That's a great question. Possibly somebody stole it to stab Daisy Armstrong with multiple times.
Many, many times, alas.
Many, many times, alas. Quel dommage.
It really is a quel dommage situation.
It really is. Tayendasne. That's Japanese for quel dommage. Yeah.
Mais oui.
Okay. I would examine the mustache comb, but it's not here. It's not here. Yeah.
Il n'y a pas de mustache comb.
Okay.
Où est?
Excusez-moi, monsieur. Où est mon comb de moustache, s'il vous plaît? Okay. Well, I don't know if there's anything else meaningfully to be done in here. So let's head out and go to second class.
Okay, that's a forward. First opening the 2-door, second class passenger car. Here is the door to Ernestine Todd's compartment. Next to that is a service cart. Next to that is the door to Arthur Simpson's compartment. Next to that is the door to Eliza Dunn's compartment. Behind is the first class passenger car. Forward is a door marked with the number 8. This is the door to the third class passenger car. Of course, I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot.
Okay. Examine serving cart.
The tools of servitude, the machinery by which the whims of the rich are fulfilled by the toil of the poor. Such things are invisible to the upper classes, no? No, not to the eye of Hercule Poirot, and upon this servant's cart, my eye sees a vital clue.
Take clue.
I add the clue to my collection.
Great. All right. I'm actually starting to question whether the victim is the same as in the original. It's been a while since I read it.
Yeah. That's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything for people who have read the, or who have not read the original. Yeah.
No. I don't want you to spoil it for me either.
No, yeah. Okay. All right, so we had some compartments. Let's go check out Ernestine Todd.
Ernestine Todd's compartment. My dear friend Ernestine Todd sits in her compartment watching the world rush by. Rush, rush, rush.
Rush, rush, rush. Talk to Ernestine.
My dear Ernestine, you must tell me, what do you know of this dreadful murder? Nothing, she says, a bit resentfully. We of the second-class passenger car can only guess at what transpires among the elites of the first class. Ah, so there are the themes of socio-economic tension underlying what seems at first glance to be a frivolous murder mystery.
Okay, let's head back out is it Frank Simpson?
Arthur Simpson.
Arthur Simpson.
Enter Arthur. I do not yet have enough clues, 6, to open the door to Arthur Simpson's compartment.
Oh, it's a Metroidvania. I see.
It's not a Metroidvania. It's a Mario 64.
Oh, sure. Backwards jump through painting?
Yeah. First, we have to talk about parallel universes.
Okay.
Have you not seen that video?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, get ready for some fun when you look up Pan & Coag's video about parallel universes in Super Mario 64.
That sounds great. get forward to that. Am I having a stroke? Get forward to it, Yoob.
You're telling the listener, Yoob, to Yoob. Skip the rest of this podcast.
Yoob, get forward to it. Yeah, so you hit the forward button on your... Yeah. Yoob have heard enough. Yoob can guess where this is going. Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Okay, what other doors? What other doors were...
Sorry. Eliza Dunn's compartment.
Ah, and, yes.
The forward door is marked with the number 8.
Okay, okay. For 8 stars that we need?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Let's check out Eliza Dunn's room.
I do not have enough clues. 17.
17? To open the door to 17? Oh my gosh.
Oh, I don't want to tell you how big this game is, but we're not going to finish
it. Okay. Wow. Well, I feel like I'm definitely slacking.
I should say we're not going to 100% it on this podcast.
Right. Okay.
There's a chance we
might finish.
Finish it.
I might find the sequence break.
You may, in fact, le break the sequence.
I don't want to say quel dommage again, but I don't remember that much more French. mon petit chou.
Oh, mon petit chou.
Mon petit chou.
Tu as les cheveux de sirène.
What's de sirène? Oh, the hair of a siren?
You have the hair of mermaids.
You have the hair of mermaids. Oui. Merci beaucoup. Cochiracoso. It's you too. that's one thing. I started trying to learn Japanese and it's overridden some French.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's like I feel like I have one active slot for a foreign language.
Yep. I think all the stuff that I can say in Sanskrit, I can't say in French.
Interesting.
But it's very few things I can say in Sanskrit.
Interesting. How do you say quel dommage in Sanskrit?
Unfortunately, you cannot say that in Sanskrit. Quel dommage.
Oh. Quel dommage indeed. Okay. I feel like I need to go back and find these clues that I clearly missed. Just like cavalierly, just skipping through this game like I was going to progress without more clues.
You fool.
I fool. Let's go talk to Hastings.
We do not yet have enough clues.
Again.
Okay. Back, dining car, Hastings here. Talk to Hastings.
Okay.
What was the queer behavior you noticed in Daisy Armstrong the previous night, I demand?
It weren't anything specific, he explains, uselessly. Just sort of a rummy queerness about her, like she was hiding something, or hiding from something, or she'd received a threatening note, maybe. Aha! A threatening note! Now we are getting somewhere, Captain Hastings.
Okay.
I'm blowing the mic whenever I say aha, or something like that.
Okay.
I hope people will forgive the audio quality of...
Oh, yeah. No, they've been waiting
in their
bunker
for... A man
who's
no longer good at...
years.
They'll be happy to get anything.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, it's okay. I can take some ear damage. Quel dommage.
Quel dommage pour misère.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to talk to Hastings again. So maybe he's got more to say.
The same thing about queer
behavior.
Same
thing about queer behavior. Note. A note. Okay, maybe we can find this note if we go back. I haven't tried searching anything. I hear that's a thing you can do in these IF games sometimes. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Daisy Armstrong's compartment and try searching.
Okay. So, the beloved actress and my dear friend, Daisy Armstrong, one and the same, lies murdered in her train compartment bed. Next to her is an ashtray.
Alas. Okay.
Alas. Ela.
Okay. Take ashtray? Can I take things? Take
ashtray. The ashtray, this is not for Poirot to carry.
Okay. No, you're right. Yeah.
This is, como dit-on, scenery.
Right. Can I look under the ashtray?
Look under ashtray. I find nothing of interest.
Look under bed? I don't know if there is an under two train beds.
Look under bed. I find nothing of interest.
Okay. And I examined Daisy, right? And it just told me
she has been stabbed.
She's been stabbed many times.
Okay. From the coolness of her skin, I estimate she perished between 1 and 12 hours ago.
Oh, it's random. Oh, that's fun. Talk to Daisy.
Daisy, I plead. Please tell Poirot who killed you. Will you not do Poirot this favor? She will not.
Ah, rude. Okay. Well, I'm not finding a note. I'm not smart enough to look better. So let's go back to the dining car and see if there are any more nouns.
Okay, I'm in the dining car of that most famous of luxury trains.
Okay.
My dear friend Captain Hastings stands nearby.
Okay.
Outside the windows, the world with all its chaos rushes by in a meaningless blur. Within, each table is set with such orderliness, no one has ruined them yet. Even the ice she does not melt in the champagne bucket.
Ah.
Forward is the first class passenger car, behind is the observation car, and of course I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot.
Examine ice.
Champagne does not interest Poirot in this moment, for I must keep all of the tiny pale things within my skull operating at their highest levels if I am to resolve any murders on this day. Ah, but in this champagne bucket, there is a clue.
Take clue!
Taken.
How many clues am I up to?
I am carrying 5 clues.
5 clues! Oh, need another clue. Okay, let's go back to my compartment, because I don't think I found a clue in there. Need a clue.
All of my effects are here. Every little thing is in its place. Mais non, where is my moustache comb?
Hey.
I can't figure out how to say that right. Moustache comb. Where is my moustache comb?
Moustache comb.
The listener cannot appreciate this, but moustache comb is separated by a hyphen. I did some math about should it be 2 words or should it be hyphenated or... What's the right way to do it? That's the kind of thing that Ryan Reeder, the great genius, fixates upon.
Yeah. Ryan, did I ever tell you about the time I was writing something and I needed red wine? So I looked up a bunch of different varieties of wine, and then I just it took me like 20 to 30 minutes, and then I just wrote red.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say, why is this an interesting story? That's how every minute of every day as a writer passes.
This is what you do.
Your entire life researching stupid details. But then you're supposed to, you pick the word that sounds the best.
Yep.
And you use that.
It wound up being red. I went too deep. Yeah. And then you have your writer friends on your G-chat? Yeah, for when you're like, okay, what's that word that means the same thing as obsequious, but it like starts with a P?
Yeah.
I need that word. But what
if I had writer friends on my G-chat, then I would understand this. I understand the part of thinking that there's a word.
Yeah. And then sometimes it's just like, I'm not crazy, right? This word is real, right?
Sometimes it turns out you are crazy.
Yeah, a lot of the time. It's like, no, the word you want is obsequious.
Yep.
Yeah. And then there's like a random P word.
With an O all along. Or a word that starts with P that you thought meant obsequious.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Means... Yeah.
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 And so you find out that you were an idiot. What for did I find out meant something completely different after all these?
There have been a few.
I mean, I feel like I didn't know what obsequious was for years and years, despite hearing it in the They Might Be Giants song Turn Around over and over again.
Oh, no. Now I'm trying. Now I need to go through the entire lyrics of Turn Around in my head to find obsequious, because I can't immediately remember.
It's in the first verse. Turn around. You have to start with the first verse. You can't skip to the chorus.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember how the first verse
was. Working all night in my office, where the man I had recently killed called me up from a phone in my building. So I looked out the window at him.
He had the same obsequious manner that was the reason I had him killed.
So to calm my nerves, I sang this song to him over the phone.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Caught up. Okay. Let's examine effects.
Dear reader, we need not concern ourselves with my effects. They have no bearing on the case at hand. The case, I remind you, of a repulsive murder.
Okay. So let's see. If I search, do I just get the room description again?
I find nothing of interest.
Okay.
In these effects.
Mon Dieu. How do I extrapolate a clue out of my room? I feel like there should be one in here. Because of game design. But perhaps no.
Your instincts might not serve you correctly in this case.
What?
Your instincts might not serve you correctly in this case. That... There's a better word than correctly, but honesty forbade me to think of it.
Okay. Let's head out.
Okay. First pass, passenger car, my compartment, Daisy Armstrong's compartment, dustbin, Ariadne's Oliver, forward, behind. Of course, I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot.
Okay. I'm wondering if, because I've been kind of thinking, you know, like in most games, exiting the train would be like admitting defeat. But that's not... Nobody's stated that to me. I'm just assuming that. So maybe we try leaving the train.
Okay. Out. Snowdrift. Alas, the opulent and beautiful Orient Express in a snowdrift finds herself, unable to extricate her affluent passengers from this wintry corner of the Yugoslavia. But there is a silver lining to our waylay, for it gives our murderer no chance to escape. And to me, Hercule Poirot, it gives a chance to search for clues. The snow is at least somewhat navigable to the east, or... I may re-enter the train if I so choose.
Let's go east, although this is going to ruin our shoes.
Ah, our shoes. The word for shoes in French is...
Chaussure?
Yeah.
Hey!
Snowy field. Ah, this snow. Like a white tablecloth, like white paper, no one has ruined it. We are alone, you and I, in a field of perfect white. Is this heaven? No, dear reader, it is the Yugoslavia. Far to the north is a very quaint farmhouse, the smallest indicator of civilization. To the east, the border of a dark wood. The Orient Express lies to the west.
Was that a Field of Dreams joke?
Je ne sais pas, qu'est-ce que dit-tu?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I want to say.
Uh-huh.
Le field of le rêve?
Oui.
Je ne sais pas, ce field.
No, I know, because nobody's made that movie for 70 years. Not 70? 70? 60? 70?
Le James L. Jones?
Oui. You told me votre fangre was en gant. That's the best line in the movie Field of Dreams. They get in an argument.
Not only do I not know that line from the movie, but I don't know those words in English unless gone for glove, right?
It was
what's fangler?
A finger.
Oh, okay. Is that really true?
No.
Okay.
So the there's a part where they get after Kevin Costner's the character. Kidnaps James Earl Jones' character by pretending his finger is a gun Yeah. Many minutes later, they get in an argument, and James Earl Jones says, "You kidnapped me. You told me your finger was a gun."
That's a good movie, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. So we used to do these, so I grew up in Wisconsin, and we used to do these family road trips where we just, like, point the car west and, like, drive for a while. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And one time we stopped in Dyersville, Iowa, where they filmed Field of Dreams.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, have you been?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I believe that.
I feel like I've been there more than once.
Uh-huh.
And the last time I was there, it was, like, it's such a tourist thing that there's, like, so many people there.
Oh, my God.
And most of the time you spend there is in the parking lot.
Oh. Oh, wow.
So it was kind of a drag.
I guess we lucked out. Are people still excited about the movie Field of Dreams?
Well, old people, sure.
Okay, yeah. I feel like we went at a good time, which I've been told is a thing that white people love to say. But yeah, we got to see the house in the cornfield, and my sister purchased, well, she didn't purchase because she was like 3 years old, but someone purchased for her a giant pickle on a stick. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So somewhere there is a picture of my sister, yeah, at age 3 with a pickle like the size of her head.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I need a clue, Ryan. Right. There's dark woods. I remember dark woods to the east.
There's dark woods to the east, and there's a quaint farmhouse to the north.
Oh, quaint farmhouse. Yeah. Sacre bleu. Let us go investigate the farmhouse to the north.
Okay. Farmhouse. In this tiny point of warmth, deep in the frigid wasteland of the Yugoslavia, who do I find but my dear friend Jane Plenderleith? In the hearth, she has built up a roaring fire to defend us from death by hypothermia.
Okay. Talk to Jane.
Talk to Jane. My dear Jane, what a pleasure it is to see you. And yet not a coincidence, I think, Jane replies, allowing me to kiss her hand in gallant fashion. What brings you to my corner of the Yugoslavia? What else but the despicable crime of murder, I say, and we laugh. Tell me, do you still remember the Yugoslavian Animal Crime Code? Certainly, she says. You may ask me about any animal, and I can tell you which crime it represents.
Wow. Oh my gosh, this is going to be important later, right? I know you can't spoil things.
Well, I haven't read the book.
I would almost guarantee that there's nothing about the Yugoslavian Animal Crime Code in the original Murder on the Orient Express. Yeah.
You would know better than me.
In fact, I'm not even sure that they were in Yugoslavia. But don't quote me on that, because it has been so long. Examine fire.
The heat is almost enough to make one sweat, but Hercule Poirot sweats only in the direst circumstances. Should it die down, there is much more of wood to be found in the woodpile nearby.
That's good. That's fortunate. Examine woodpile.
A great pile of Yugoslavian wood, chopped no doubt by my dear friend Jane Plenderleith herself. But what is this? At the very back, a piece of wood that is not a piece of wood, but a clever forgery. It rattles when I pick it up. I see the truth immediately. I open the secret compartment in the false piece of wood, and naturally, a clue falls out. Nothing escapes Poirot.
Take clue!
Taken.
This is very exciting. I add the
clue to my collection.
Okay. Well, that gives us... I feel like I should continue looking around outside, but that gives us enough clues to get into Arthur Simpson's comportement.
Oh, way.
Where?
Le comportement d'Arthur Simpson.
But first, let's examine Jane.
Jane Plenderleith was a spy embedded in the Yugoslavia during the Great War, which is what we call World War I during the 1930s. Now, she lives a quiet life in a Yugoslavian farmhouse, but she has forgotten none of her training as an espion.
Okay. Can I ask her about a fox?
Jane nods. In the Yugoslavian Animal Crime Code, the fox stands for the crime of prostitution.
the oldest profession.
Ah ouais.
Ouais.
Les professions plus vieux.
Vieux. Plus vieux.
Ouais.
Ouais. C'est vrai.
Absolument.
Absolument. You know, I thought it was the Italians who were going to cancel me for doing the accent. But now I'm pretty sure. C'est pretty sûr. C'est les Français.
I thought you said the petit chou. I was like, why are you talking about your little cabbage?
Pourquoi?
Like that was just the sentence or the phrase you were saying that was going to make the French cancel you. No, the French would have to listen to this first.
Oh, they would. They would. Okay. Okay.
They would have to evince un intérêt in la fiction interactive.
D'accord. J'aime bien mon petit chou. Obviously.
Obviously. It is as plain as the nose on Parlo's face.
Oui, oui, oui. Just above le moustache.
Le moustache characteristique.
Can I compliment you on the Poirot voice in this thing?
You may.
It's really good.
Oh, bien merci.
De rien. Okay, let's go check out these dark, dark woods.
Okay, go east to the woods. Ah, the stillness of the woodland of the Yugoslavia. The only motion is the falling of the snowflakes and a white fox jumping in and out of his foxhole. Oh. Nearby to me is a pile of sticks. Okay. I may exit the forest to the east or west whenever I wish.
Examine sticks. I didn't know there was going to be a fox.
That was quite the coincidence.
There are no coincidences.
Were we recording when we talked about whether coincidences
I can't. We might not have been recording. That might have been before we started recording. Oh, man. That would have been amazing. Oh, if we included the little off-the-cuff conversation about whether there were no coincidences or there were only coincidences.
Don't worry. I'll make sure we include if everything is a coincidence, that means nothing is a coincidence.
Okay.
Or whether if nothing is a coincidence, that means
everything is a coincidence. Yeah.
With the toe of my shoe, I kick the sticks away. They are a mere distraction. Chicanery! For beneath the sticks, there is a metal hatch in the forest floor. Bien sûr! Bien sûr! I expected as much from the beginning.
Really?
Chicanery is one of those words that I thought for years meant something other than that.
Oh, I could see that.
I thought chicanery just meant goofing off.
Oh.
But it specifically means deception.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I had no idea what salient meant. Like, I knew enough in context. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's the most important one. But it's like, no, it's the quickest to jump to.
Okay.
Yeah. Open hatch.
Open. Le hatch.
Le hatch.
The hatch is closed. Before we enter, it must be unlocked.
Oh.
That's a bad. I need to change this. Before we enter, it must be unlocked. Examine the hatch instead, and that will tell you more useful information.
Okay. Examine the hatch.
Observe, my dear reader. In the hatch, there is a numerical code entry device. One must set the device to the correct number. Only then the hatch she will open.
Okay.
Hello.
What number is associated with the crime of prostitution?
Je cherche le nombre. I don't know.
Cherchez le nombre. Youb. do we need a special imperative? Do we need I don't know. Word I want for when you... The grammar? You know.
I think imperative might be what you mean.
Yeah.
Depends on what you're trying to say.
Yeah. No, like the it's a really common grammar word for when you have different... Like, I eat, you eat, we eat.
Oh, a conjugation?
Conjugation, thank you. Yeah, do we need a different conjugation for youb?
Oh, perhaps.
Yeah. We could just stick a
perhaps
B.
Perhaps
whatever it was. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Shershib.
Le nombre. L'Académie Française will not approve of you adding a conjugation.
They already don't approve of anything I do, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Non.
Non. Yeah, je
Ils
suis...
n'approuve pas.
J'étais cancellé. Ils n'approuvent
jamais.
What up, everybody who took German in high school instead of French? I hope you're enjoying.
What about them?
I hope you were enjoying this podcast. Okay.
My high school had French and German and Spanish.
Mine too. At the time. Mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm envious of other people got some different options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me think, like, because. I don't know. At one point, someone gave me a hard time about picking French, saying, when really? Are you going to use that? Yeah, well, it was a jerk who was saying this.
It's like, mon frère.
And it's like, well, you're not exactly necessarily going to, like, go to that country mm-hmm, and just mm-hmm. live there or whatever.
Right, right.
You could make a case that Spanish is more useful.
Oh, Spanish would have been incredibly useful for me now living in the American yeah. Southwest. It's yeah. ridiculous that I know so little Spanish.
For those of us who grew up in the Midwest, mm-hmm. it's like, well, Spanish, I guess, makes more practical sense than French or German.
Yeah.
But learning any language
uh-huh.
is a good move.
It already puts you ahead of, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, the thing about what... languages get offered by high schools, mm-hmm. it's not just a matter of the smartest people in the world decide, well, these are the correct languages to offer.
Uh-huh,
you have
uh-huh.
to, like, have people to teach it.
Yep, yep, yep.
There are probably other factors as well.
Yeah. That's interesting. That would be interesting to do a deep dive. Not on this podcast.
Yeah. But... well, we have time. Let's do a deep dive.
Oh, okay. All right, all right. Yeah. What factors? Factors.
Anyway, so the hatch doesn't seem like it's right. actionable at the moment.
We need a numerical code. We need a numerical code. But, okay, we have enough. Let's go east. Let's keep going east.
Okay, yeah. Mountains. The famously intellectual Hercule Poirot is ill-suited to mountain climbing, but I am here regardless, companioned only by my genius and you, dear reader, and the moon.
Moon.
Observe. There is a windowless cabin here. Also, the way back to the Orient Express is somewhere to the west.
Examine moon.
The full moon is low in the sky. It is empty. There is no man in the moon. This is a lie we tell to children. There is no man in the moon, and where man walks not, there is no crime. But there is a clue there.
Take clue.
I add the clue to my collection.
Yay. I was hoping there would be a clue in the moon. A clue.
Ah, way. We are on the same level, you and me.
Entrez la cabine, por favor.
Enter cabin, por favor. The door to the windowless cabin is locked. Alas!
Okay, examine door.
A cabin without windows, high atop a mountain in the Yugoslavia. The scene has my skull innards on high alert.
Yeah, no, a windowless cabin would be really creepy.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, who does that? What's that
Perhaps
for?
Perhaps a murderer.
Le gasp. Okay. So, let's see. Have we reached the end of the little road?
It's not telling you there is anywhere else to go, yeah.
Okay, okay. Well, let's go... I guess let's go back. Let's go back and let's try Arthur Simpson.
Okay, in the car, first class, or you have to go forward. Forward to the second class passenger car. Enter Arthur Simpson's compartment.
Merci.
Arthur Simpson, the renowned author and my dear friend, sits patiently in his compartment here.
Talk to Arthur.
My dear Arthur, I regret I cannot eliminate you. I begin again. My dear Arthur, I regret that I cannot eliminate you from the suspicion of the case of this reprehensible murder. Murder, he asks, eyes wide. I seem to have missed something important. This is so funny as to make the both of us laugh.
Talk to him again.
On Arthur's shoulder, I place my sagacious, right? Sagacious?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard it said out loud.
Then I am set a precedent, I will.
Okay.
On Arthur's shoulder, I place my sagacious hand. Can you tell me nothing to establish your alibi? Nothing you recall that might inform my investigations? Arthur shrugs.
Okay. I'll talk to him again.
On Arthur's shoulder, I place my sagacious hand. No, that sounds so bad. Can you tell me nothing to establish your alibi? Nothing you recall that might inform my investigations? Arthur shrugs.
Ex-Arthur.
Arthur Simpson has the unkempt appearance and manic eye of a brilliant writer, or perhaps a murderer?
X-I.
Alas, I can see no such thing.
Okay.
Oh, his eye. The eye of
him. I think the eye of the Arthur. L'œil d'Arthur. I can see no such thing.
Le docteur.
Le docteur. Why did I want to get into this guy's cabin so badly, Ryan?
Je ne sais pas.
Moi aussi. Moi non plus. Moi non plus.
Where? I did not learn moi non plus from French class. I learned it from that sexy song.
There's a sexy song about moi non plus?
Je t'aime moi non plus. Yeah, look it up. It's good.
Oh, okay. All right, you heard it here first, Yoob.
And I specifically learned it from the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain's version.
Okay. Because
that's what a dork I am. But both versions are great. All versions are great.
Naturellement. Okay. Oh, I need more clues, Ryan. I need more clues in a numerical code.
Let's see. If we go out, second class passenger car. Forward is a door marked with the number 8. This is the door to third class passenger car. Of course, I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot.
Oh, if I exit at different points of the train, will it take me to different places?
Les places différentes?
Les places différentes. Mais oui. Okay, so where did we exit from? Did we exit from the first class?
I think we exited from first. Well, let me go to first class and check.
Okay.
Back out. So, yeah, from first class, we exited and we went through the snowdrift.
Okay.
In to the thing.
Okay.
The first class passenger car.
I would like to exit from second class this time, s'il vous plaît.
Okay. Forward. Out. Canals of Vienna.
Yeah. Oh, that's
no
weird.
Other city has the tragic beauty of Vienna. Her canals whisper to the ear 1,000 years of melancholy history. But the great Hercule Poirot is unfamiliar with these particular canals, and I know not where to explore next, unless I am merely to return to the Orient Express. Perhaps this gondolier will be my guide.
Ah, yes. Talk to gondolier.
Talk to gondolier.
This is where I get canceled.
My good man, I say. Might you direct a poor Frenchman to these quartiers? Might you direct a poor Frenchman to these quartiers of, to those quartiers of Vienna in which a despicable crime might be investigated? Only too happy, chirped the gondolier. There's the prison of Vienna, of course. Plenty of crime and related paraphernalia there. And there's the Casino Greco. Of course, gambling ain't so much a crime as it is a sin, but there's two related concepts. And you'd be a fool of investigator if you didn't take the time to visit the offices of Sigmund Freud. I thank the gentleman for his assistances.
Okay. Go, Freud.
Go, Freud. Go, Freud.
Go, Freud. Go, Freud.
Sigmund Freud's office. It is my honor to stand in the presence of the great Dr. Sigmund Freud, to breathe the air of his distinguished office. Look, here is his famous cigar box, and here is his famous watch.
Examine la boîte de cigares.
Ah, to stand face to face with Sigmund Freud's own cigar box. I wish I had my camera.
examine watch.
You didn't notice that you didn't try to open the box.
Oh, open box, open box.
Open box, thank you. I opened this cigar box, revealing a clue.
Take clue!
Okay. Now you want to look at watch.
I want to look at watch.
Freud notices my interest in his watch. I use it in my hypnosis therapy, he says. I don't have time to do German. Would you care for a demonstration?
Yes.
I was not planning to do a voice for the gondolier. So that I spent a lot of points on that, and I cannot recover. Gotcha.
I liked it.
Thanks. I apologize, Herr Doctor, but I doubt sincerely that you could hypnotize the great genius Hercule Poirot.
Oh, man.
Perhaps not. Shall I give it a try?
Yes.
Shall he? That's the prompt now.
Yes.
Okay. Sigmund Freud swings his famous gold watch in front of my face. The rhythm is so relaxing. I feel the diamond-like focus of my brain dissolving. You are having a dream, Freud says. You are dreaming that you are far away. Forest. Ah, the stillness of the woodland of the Yugoslavia. The only motion is the falling of the snowflakes and the white fox jumping in and out of its foxhole. Nearby to me is a mysterious hatch. I may exit the forest to the east or the west whenever I wish.
Incredible. Okay. Well, I think perhaps we should go back to Vienna.
Okay, so west, enter, train, forward, out, then we're back in the canals of Vienna. We may visit the Casino Greco or the offices of Sigmund Freud, or we may venture into the infamous prison of Vienna. When we are done here, we need only return to the train station where the Orient Express awaits.
Let's try the casino.
Enter casino. A most pleasant coincidence has placed my dear friend the heiress Ernestine Grant at the Casino Greco in Vienna, just when I happen to be visiting. The two of us may try our hands at baccarat, or roulette, or craps.
Ooh. Talk to... Is this Ernestine?
Ernestine Grant?
Ernestine Grant. Is she the second Ernestine,
dear Ernestine
in this game?
She is, in fact, the second Ernestine. And okay. A little later, I'll tell you where the names for these characters came from.
Okay.
Not on the air. My dear Ernestine! Poirot! I am swept up in the slender arms of the beautiful heiress. What brings you to Vienna, you silly little man? With an impish smile, I spread my hands so innocently. What else but fate, my dear? Her aspect darkens. She clasps my hand. She speaks to me in a voice barely above a whisper.
You must not speak that word here, Poirot. The Casino Greco is ruled by luck. Jovial, capricious luck who gives with one hand and takes with the other. But fate, who is always cruel, takes with both hands. It is fate who made me who I am. Made me...
She chokes and falls on my shoulder and sobs, and I pat her back until she recovers herself and resumes her characteristic insouciance.
Okay. Let's play baccarat.
Oh, play baccarat. Have to type the T even if you don't pronounce it.
Right.
If it pleases you, reader, my friend Ernestine and I shall play a bit of baccarat. We shall place bets back and forth, looking at cards, flipping cards over, waving to the dealer for more cards, and so on. Oh, it is thrilling. This is the height of opulence.
Okay. Let's play some roulette.
Play roulette. Mais oui, I shall bet on whatever number you suggest, dear reader.
Ooh, bet on 25.
I bet upon the number 25. I win, of course. Poirot always wins.
Amazing. Bet on 7?
Certainement. I bet upon the number 7. I win, of course. Poirot always wins.
Okay. Was there a third casino game?
Yeah, there's craps.
Craps. Joue le crap, s'il vous plaît.
Nous jouons le crap.
J'aime bien le crap.
I will stand by my dear friend Ernestine's side as she plays at craps, but I am only being polite. This game, she does not please me.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it's too American.
If you examine craps, you get the explanation of why the game does not please him.
Examine craps.
Alas. The game of craps always reminds me of the crime of murder, for it is a game of dice. And the noun die, which in this context refers to a single gambling piece, is spelled and pronounced just like the verb die, meaning to pass out of the world of the living. And this reminds me of the crime of murder, which it is my sad duty always to investigate and solve and to bring to justice.
Right. Yeah. Can I examine a roulette?
Ah, the little ball, the little numbers. Roulette is the perfect game of gambling for a mind such as Poirot's, which can calculate every angle and trajectory the wheel can produce and predict exactement where the little ball shall land.
Okay. Examine Baccarat.
The Baccarat dealer has a shoe, which is a thingy with cards in it, and a palette, which is a wooden paddle used for moving cards around. It is a most agreeable game.
Okay. I don't know how deep to try to examine.
Well, you can only try.
I can only try. That is true. Examine shoe.
This shoe is where they keep the cards, of course. But in this shoe, there is a
clue. Take clue.
You got it.
Okay. Examine palette.
It is rather like an ore. Well, not really.
Examine ball.
I have to spell it correctly. Ah, the little ball, the little numbers, blah, blah, blah. It's a cinnamon.
Okay.
Synonym's just another word for the word you want to use.
Have I mentioned how annoyed I am at Lana Del Rey for sweet like cinnamon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time you just ate cinnamon was. It's not sweet.
No.
Yeah. It's famously. To eat
a bunch of cinnamon would be a challenge.
It would be un challenge indeed. Le challenge de cinnamon. In fact. Yeah. It's cinnamon famously paired with sugar.
Yes. To make it
to sweet make it because sweet it is not sweet. Because it is not sweet by itself. It's some bark that you grate up. You grated up.
But Lana Del Rey, does she speak ironically? Does she say sweet like cinnamon, describing that which is in fact not sweet?
It is really hard to tell avec Lana Del Rey. Okay, well, we got a clue. We got a clue out of this casino. Let's go to prison.
Okay. Go to prison.
Go to prison.
Prison of Vienna. How pleasant that the warden of the prison of Vienna is my dear friend Jimmy Falconer. But the prison itself is not pleasant at all. All around are little gray cells, each the home of another vile criminal. Just from the spot where Jimmy and I stand, I can see cell number 1, cell number 2, cell number 3, cell number 4.
I like the little gray cells joke.
That's you good. You pointed it out, Jenny! Ah, oh. You lose. Good day, sir.
Oh no. I'm sorry. Okay, talk to Jimmy.
Okay, talk to Jimmy. My dear Jimmy, I say, spreading my arms wide for an embrace of friendship. Oh, hello, Poirot, says Jimmy Falconer. He does not embrace Poirot. Then he snaps his fingers. I remember now, I found this. You might find it interesting. He points to a clue on the floor.
Take clue.
You got it.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You now have 10 clues. I suppose you can remember, but I can't
keep track. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so that's enough to get into third class. We also have... I don't know if there's anything in these cells. We also haven't been outside from the dining car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weh.
Weh. Also, I don't know if there's anything to do with these cells in here.
You can only try.
I can only try. All right.
The magic of the text parser is you can
try. I can try. It is
not knowing what you can do.
Yes. Okay. Examine cell 1. Examinez cell 2, s'il vous plaît.
In cell number 1 is a disgusting criminal.
Ugh. Talk to disgusting criminal.
Talk to disgusting criminal. I have nothing to say to this disgusting degenerate.
Okay, okay. Examine cell two.
In cell number two is a hateful criminal. It says in cell number one is a hateful criminal. Hold on.
Okay, okay.
I'll just fix that real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, in cell number two is a hateful criminal.
Okay, examine cell three.
In cell number three is a repugnant criminal.
Okay, how about cell number four?
In cell number four is a hole, a tunnel. An abhorrent criminal has escaped. It is up to Poirot to pursue this villain.
Entrez le tunnel, s'il vous plaît, monsieur.
Filthy tunnel. Alas, the odious muck of the tunnel is getting all over my clothes. Poirot, who so much detests the dirt and the mess, am smeared with the slime of criminal wrongdoing. But if I go a little further down, I will reach the end of the tunnel.
Oh, good. Let's do that.
Filthy canal. The bottom of the tunnel opens up upon the foulest canal in all of Vienna. Ew. The muck of Viennese pollution. I am up to my ankles in it. Alas, the escaped prisoner, he has escaped indeed. Nobody is here but a wretched canal urchin. A woven basket is floating by on the river of slime.
Examine basket.
A basket worn by the rustic weaver women of Vienna. It is a true tragedy that such lovely workmanship is consigned to such sickening surroundings. In the woven basket is a steel key.
Take key!
Got it. I shall carry the steel key.
Ooh! I bet that'll get us into the windowless cabin. Or possibly it's the key to something else.
Why would a key in Vienna, you found it in the canal in Vienna, go to a windowless cabin in the mountains of the Yugoslavia?
Because I found a lock and then I found a key.
C'est vrai
indeed. Talk to urchin.
Talk to urchin. Which way did the escaped prisoner go, I demand. But of course, the canal urchin has seen nothing.
Okay, which is weird. Because you'd think, you know, they're positioned really well to see something, but okay. That's fine. That's fine. Ex-urchin.
That's fine. I don't know. Yeah. This dirty little boy is beneath suspicion. It would make no sense for him to be revealed as the murderer. It would be like Agatha Christie is saying that homeless children are evil.
Which, I mean, not exactly that. She got a little weird. She got a little weird sometimes. She got a little problematic.
Well, if you write a murder mystery story,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you determine that the murderer in the book is a specific person, what you are saying is that people of those demographics,
right,
people do of that murders. Gender or race or whatever, they yeah. are murderers.
They are murderers. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why it's important to do your research. You have to find out
what kind of person is a murderer. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then make that person the murderer. And then include multiple of that type.
Uh-huh.
In your mystery story so that it's not obvious.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
To someone else who does the research. But it becomes a lot easier if you have what you call these weird or quote unquote problematic beliefs about who
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because yeah, like sewer urchins.
Now people can't predict what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Like her famous work about the train full of sewer urchins.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And then it turned out that the detective was a sewer urchin. It was just never mentioned.
Oh my gosh.
And they did the crime. Yeah.
Cool.
That was one of her biggest twist endings ever. Spoilers. Spoilers for Agatha Christie's Train Full of Sewer Urchins. Yeah. Oh. Okay. I would like to go back and try the key on the lock of the cabin.
Okay. I'll just enter train, back, out, E, mountains. So you want to unlock cabin with steel.
S'il vous plaît.
I unlock the windowless cabin.
See, I told you it would work.
That is, well.
Oh.
Broken clock.
Am I a broken clock? Does that mean I have another
you are
being,
right for once.
Being right in me?
Yes, in 12 hours you will be right again.
Oh boy. Also it's a stopped clock that's right twice a day, cuz a broken clock could be broken in any number of ways.
It could just display random
times. Yeah, it could display random times. It could have the hands snapped off of it.
Wait, Jenny. This is a fun math problem for the listener.
For you.
Can Yube solve this? It probably has been posed before.
Yeah. Okay.
Imagine a clock that runs backwards at 1 minute per minute.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
How often is this clock correct?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Think about
this.
Say
it starts at 12 midnight and goes back.
It starts at 12 midnight and just jeep. Yeah. And just think about this.
Does it end up being correct at 6 o'clock and then again at 12 o'clock? And
that is my initial instinct. But it's also one of those things where if you told me that it's like, no, that's what you would think, but that's what stupid people think. It's actually...
That was my entire high school physics class.
Oh, no.
We didn't learn anything. He just asked us questions, and we gave intuitive answers, and he said, actually, the answer is counterintuitive.
Wow.
And then...
Wow.
It was really frustrating.
That sounds really frustrating. I never made it to physics because I kept failing biology. Yeah. That was how they did it in the 90s. Well,
you have to establish the core principles of biology before you can move on to the higher order realm of physics.
Yeah, it's like science goes in order. It goes biology, chemistry, physics. You need to learn all the basics of biology, and then you can learn chemistry, and then you can learn physics.
I need to take a quick break.
Okay.
Remember that you just unlocked. Don't stop recording or anything.
I won't stop recording or anything. I will wait for you to come back.
Okay. And don't say anything fun while I'm gone.
Oh, no. Now all I want to do is say fun things. I'm going to eat some of my udon noodles. I have udon noodles. Fork and a little spoon. I'm gonna take the lid off my udon noodles. Oh wow. Oh, this is really good. This is really good. Wow. There's some good here. This exists in like a Jap chain kind of flavor space. This is really good. Yeah. That's real good. Welcome to my mukbang mouth sounds. ASMR. I know it's not pronounced mukbang. Oh, that's a good udon. That was good udon. I'm going to keep this on the other side of fun. Sorry, these are some good, like, soft noodles. It's really good.
Now, you may think that I gave you a great deal of power by leaving the call alone and giving you a chance to say whatever you wanted. However, I'm still going to edit this.
Yeah. No, I was never so under the...
What you,
delusion that you weren't.
So you're like, what you find out is whether or not I decided to let what you said stay in the episode.
I really hope that you don't, because I took your directive to not say anything fun at face value, and I just ate udon noodles into the microphone and talked about how good they were.
That does not sound like prime podcast material.
It's really not. It sounds
like the kind of thing that gets cut.
A different podcaster might have taken this and taken this directive and thought, aha, Ryan is secretly telling me that I should be very fun and I will dump my A-list material, all my best stuff, just this really quality material into this gap in this podcast.
Well, and what we were imagining is that you have that just ready.
Right, like, right.
Good. I have a chance to say whatever I want and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't.
I mean, if it were me, I would have tried harder than eating udon noodles and saying stuff about it.
I genuinely thought that you were telling me, like, no matter what, I'm cutting this out. So don't be interesting. Straight up, that was how I understood the directive.
Well, and if you did do something good, then that's more work for me.
Absolutely.
Now I have to, like, decide.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest.
You could cut everything except the mouth sounds.
Yeah. Les sons de bouche. De la bouche? I don't know.
Oh. Le son de la bouche. That sounds like a 90s hip-hop band.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to entrer le cabin.
Oh. Enter cabin. Windowless cabin. The tenant of this windowless cabin high atop a mountain in the Yugoslavia is my dear old friend Charles Laverton West. West's cabin is a rustic one indeed. His bearskin rug gapes at me with toothy jaw. His great wooden table is covered in stains and scratches.
Ooh. All right, let's examine this rug.
Do not be offended, reader, at the presence of so grisly a trophy. The bears of the Yugoslavia are cruel and wicked beasts, second only to humanity in their capacity for evil, and to end one's life is to do a good deed. In this one's toothy jaw there is a clue.
Take clue!
Take clue.
Examine table.
Turning a closer eye, Poirot sees a map carved into the table. A path leading southwest. No, so. A path leading southeast, southwest, northwest, northeast, and finally south. I memorized this information instantaneously.
Amazing. Okay. Good. Talk to Charles.
Talk to Charles. My dear Charles, how good it is to see you. Very good, yes. Charles Laverton West does not take my hand. He looks nervously at the door. Such a queer fellow.
Okay. Let's go back and ask Jane about bears.
Ask Jane about bears. Jane scratches her chin. I believe that in the Yugoslavian crime code, the bears stands for the crime of assault, but I could be misremembering.
Okay. Well, it's definitely suspicious for our friend Charles.
Away.
Suspicious. Unless you're a girl, then it's suspicious.
Yeah.
That's how French works. That's how gender.
La femme suspicious. L'homme suspicious.
Okay, so I'm guessing, were these new exits from the area with avec le cabin?
No, it's just the cabin is, you're inside the cabin, you go outside the cabin, you're in the mountains. There's no more rooms, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, then what was this map?
Oh, the map that was carved on the table.
Okay. So, Do I need to figure out what it was a map to?
Hold on. I have to note that it, map is not a synonym of the table. Noted. It doesn't say what to do with the directions on the map. That's like a puzzle that you
figure out. Oh, it's a puzzle? Oh. Dang it. I didn't know there was going to be puzzles. Ryan. Puzzles?
Okay. Well, let's go to the third class car.
Class the third. Where am I? Out, west, in, forward to the second class, forward to third class. There are three compartments here. Compartment 20, compartment 25, and compartment 50. Behind is the second class passenger car. Forward is a door marked with the number 19. Oh, this so is many. The door to the baggage car. Okay. Of course, I may exit the train here if I so choose. I am, after all, the great Hercule Poirot. With disdain, I notice a soiled napkin upon the floor.
Ex-napkin.
A serviette employed by one of the third-class passengers and never taken to be laundered by the waitstaff of this otherwise faultless luxury passenger train. The famous Orient Express.
Take napkin.
I can bear to pinch the least disgusting corner of this napkin only for an instant, but beneath it, I have uncovered a clue.
Take clue!
Got it.
All right.
Where are we at now? 12 clues.
12 clues? Wow. We're just chugging right along. That's a train joke.
A train joke indeed, mon frère.
Au jus de train.
Au jus de train.
Au jus. Yeah, if you get a train sandwich, you usually it's good to get it au jus. It's really good that way.
Oh, dearie me.
Let's check out compartment 20.
Enter compartment 20.
I like the idea that I said that.
I do not yet have enough clues.
Oh, no.
20 to enter compartment 20.
Oh, right.
20.
Of course we don't. We have 12. Okay, that makes sense. Wow, 50 clues. Jeez.
Do you want to examine compartment 50?
Yeah, let's examine it.
A brass plate bearing the number 50 is mounted upon this door. It is okay if I never open this door. Everything is optional.
Phew. Wait, everything is optional? Is this a paradise killer?
The whole game is optional.
What?
What?
Is this a what? Is this a paradise killer?
I don't know what that is.
So that's
is it a game where everything is optional?
Yeah, that's a game. It's a detective game. It's actually kind of a hopping around and finding collectibles game more than anything else. But ostensibly, it's
stupid,
a detective
okay.
game. I had fun. I also played it during COVID when I couldn't leave my house. You know, well, I could leave my house, but, like, not meaningfully. Yeah, so, like, hopping around a vaporwave island was fun. But, yeah, it's, you can go, like, you basically have full power to decide who did the crime. And, like, nobody calls you on it. So you can just immediately, when it starts up, you can go to the trial and you can start the trial. And you can be like, yeah, it was the obvious guy. Yeah.
I mean, that seems kind of realistic.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it happens a lot.
Well, no, just like, I'm not trying to make any point about
real
trials.
Right.
I'm just saying that everybody, when you are a real DA or whatever, it's not like the world tells you,
right.
Hey,
like
you got the correct answer.
Yeah, like you don't sentence somebody and something goes wah wah.
Yeah,
yeah. They're like, go back and get more clues and get the right criminal. Yeah. Wow. So the whole game is optional, huh?
This is my deep belief about all games, is that the whole thing is optional, and part of the experience of playing a game is deciding the extent to which you want to engage with it and saying, well, I have to like do something that I don't want to do is incorrect.
Right. Okay. So this 50, the store with the 50, this is like the Braid Stars.
It is quite a bit like the Braid Stars.
Okay. All right. So there is. So it's interesting. It's interesting, the idea of games being optional, but then also there's a social contract when you tell your friend Ryan that you're going to play his game for a podcast, Jenny, that you do. Yeah.
Have we not already said that we will not 100% this game upon this podcast?
We will not. That is true. And it's fine if we don't, because that is a fun exercise for the reader, for Yub.
Exactement. But even to get to the ending or an ending of this game is not something we necessarily will accomplish on this podcast, which for now we have been recording 100 minutes.
100 minutes!
So minute! So we're just having fun.
Yeah.
And if we, like, if I want to eat lunch at some point, then I'll just tell you that we're done playing.
Yeah, you should eat lunch whenever you feel like eating lunch.
We should get to a good place to stop.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that implies that there are better places to stop and worse ones. Okay, well, I can go out of the train from here.
Yeah,
I'm good.
You are, after all, the
great. I am, after all. Thank you for noticing.
Streets of Marrakesh. I have arrived in the city of Marrakesh. Solemn, dour, unpersonable Marrakesh. Even so great a personage as Hercule Poirot feels utterly alone in so unfriendly a city. Most doors in this city are closed to me, but I know of a saloon where I may find some sliver of companionship. Soon, though, I must leave Marrakesh, either via the famed steamer Luxor or aboard the famous Orient Express.
Okay, let's go saloon.
Enter saloon. This drinking hole is as nameless as poor Hercule Poirot finds himself in the inhospitable city of Marrakesh. And yet, who do I find here but my dear friend Valentine Chantry? She works behind the bar while the proprietor is out of Marrakesh on holiday. At the far end of the bar is an ominous door.
Ooh, ominous door. Talk to Valentine.
Talk to Valentine Chantry. Ah, my dear Valentine. Valentine, so much sweeter than any liquor is the face of a friend in the city where one is despised. Favor me with another smile, and you rescue me from the depths of utter misery. Poirot, you charmer, what reason has Marrakesh to despise a man of your water? Alas, I say, I do not know.
Okay, examine Valentine.
Poirot is no fool. He knows that Mademoiselle Chantry is a prostitute of the highest class.
Oh, a fox.
But a gentleman does not put things in such terms in polite conversation. One employs circumlocution. One says, lady of the evening, and so on.
Examine door.
What goes on in the back room of this nameless saloon in Marrakesh?
I don't know. Let's open it.
Open door. I grasp the handle of the door. A voice comes from within. What's the password? And that is the prompt. It has changed the prompt into what is the password?
Greater than. Oh no. Well, we don't have a password that I know of, so let's try swordfish.
Swordfish. Classic.
Classic.
Humph, says the voice behind the door. It does not open.
Yeah. That's fine. Okay. So we still need a numeric code and a password. All right. Let's go to the Luxor.
Okay. Out. Enter Luxor. The dock turns me away. Pshaw! And for what reason? Because Poirot does not carry a ticket for this famed steamer Luxor. Well, I shall procure a ticket somehow.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. Possibly not during this recording.
Possibly not.
But... okay, so we still...
Because, Jenny, I will tell you this.
Yes.
You walked straight past the thing where you could have gotten a ticket.
I walked straight past the thing where I could have gotten a ticket?
Ah, ouais.
Wow.
Quel dommage.
Oh, je suis...
Mais Yub will find it certainement.
Oui. Pour Yub, a clever...
Ah, ouais.
Ouais.
Clever like a prostitute?
The little Poirot voice really made that one. Okay. Okay, well, let's go back. Let's go out of the dining car, which we haven't done.
Oh, okay. So enter train, back, back, back.
I walked right past the thing where I could have got a ticket, huh?
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
There's so much more. This game is too big.
It's a lot.
I watched a movie. I won't say what movie, but I was like, you know what? I should make a game based on Murder on the Orient Express. And I was like, hey, yeah, I could do this and this and this. I'll do this. This. Yeah, I could probably finish this in 1 or 2 weeks. Sure. And then I like made a more detailed design document. And it turns out this game has 75 rooms.
What?
And at least 50 clues, apparently.
Oh, man.
And so it took me like 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I forget where I was going with this story.
Mm.
Anyway, out.
Oh.
Streets of Istanbul.
Okay.
Ah, beautiful Istanbul! She is one of the great cities of the world, although her dust and her although her dust and her camel dander always make me... Sorry, I have to read this correctly.
Okay.
The reader, you will like this a lot more when you read it yourself and you don't have me interpreting it with my stupid voice. She is one of the great cities of the world, although her dust and her camel dander make me always to Kurtishu. Alors, where shall we go? We may employ one of the city's rickshaws and visit the Hagia Sophia, that most splendid of churches. We may pass the time at the Kitty Cat Club or the hospital, or we may return to the train station where the renowned Orient Express awaits.
Okay. Absolutely want to see the Hagia Sophia.
Okay. Enter Hagia Sophia. Hagia Sophia, it is a great pleasure to visit the exquisite Hagia Sophia, to bask in her history, to admire her meticulous mosaics and awe-inspiring archways. Nearby there is a grand stairway. I am sure the view of the city from the church's roof is magnificent, or magnifique, as a French person would say. How lucky I am that the tour guide is my dear friend Ada Waverly.
Okay, talk to Ada.
Talk to Ada. Do you say Ada or Ada?
I say Ada.
Probably Ada. Yeah, yeah, that makes more sense. My dear Ada, what a pleasure it is to see you. Oh, Poirot, she embraces me. Thank you ever so much for solving the mystery of my grandparents' rose garden. This reference to past events creates what the literary critics call an impression of depth. But of course, I say, smiling my self-satisfied Poirot smile.
Okay, examine Ada.
The lovely young Ada Waverly is well-versed in all the religious traditions of the East and well-placed in these lofty environs. Lofty environs. Lofty environs.
Speaking of lofty environs, let's go up.
Up. My dear friend and tour guide Ada Waverly will not allow me, to climb the great stairway to the roof. The roof is for locals only, Ada whispers, her breath tickling my ear. And you are hardly dressed as a local. Oh. Alas, she is correct.
Oh no, okay, we need a costume. We need to be
away.
Link sneaking into Gerudo Village.
Perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. Okay, all right, let's exit. And there was also the hospital and the Kitty Cat Club?
That's who's correct.
Let's try those in order.
Okay, enter hospital. It is a coincidence indeed, but a very pleasurable, I should change that to pleasurable. Hold on. A very pleasant, and I will change that to pleasurable,
you're
and
really
the game becomes better.
You're really getting to see the sausage get made, Yub.
Oh, wait. Yuber.
Yuber.
Or Yurb? Yub. I forget. It is a coincidence indeed, but a very pleasurable one, that the head doctor of the Hospital of Istanbul is my dear friend Dr. Peter Mekison. I know I'll be well cared for should I slip and fall in the streets of Istanbul, and that is the price, and that the priceless contents of my skull shall be preserved against any further misadventure. The morgue is to be found downstairs.
Okay, let's talk to Peter.
My dear Dr. Mekison, what a pleasure it is to see you. The pleasure is all mine, Poirot. Heartily he shakes my hand. There is nothing duplicitous in his bearing, but I notice a clue falling from his sleeve.
Take clue!
Please, be my guest in this most prestigious of Istanbul's hospitals. I thank him most graciously. Okay, now what do you want me to do?
Take clue.
Okay, I got a clue.
Clue!
And now I have 13 clues.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
for somebody who walks past a ticket? Yeah. Okay, let's go downstairs.
Morgue. Alas. Here in the basement of the hospital of Istanbul is another dead, murdered body.
Oh no.
But who is washing his hands at the sink? It is my dear friend Tommy Pinner, the boss of the morgue of the hospital of Istanbul. Surely he will not object to my investigations.
I thought perhaps you were going to say we weren't allowed to go downstairs because we weren't dressed like a corpse. Okay, talk to Tommy.
Talk to Tommy. My dear Tommy, what a pleasure it is to see you. Poirot, this is a surprise. He does not stop washing his hands. I'll be with you in a moment.
Okay. Examine corpse.
This body, just like that of my dear friend Daisy Armstrong, has been stabbed a whole bunch of times. Are the cases connected? Undoubtedly so.
Oh, yeah. No, that is suspicious. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Kitty Cat Club.
Enter Kitty Cat Club. The lights go down, and Patricia Matthews steps onto the stage.
Okay. Ex-Patricia.
This mystery, how can it be expressed? You toil and scrounge for clues like one obsessed. But the truth you seek is easily possessed. It waits and waits and waits to be undressed. So shackle me, indict my faithlessness. Coerce me, compel me to confess. I am the one, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. I am the murderer on the Orient Express.
Yay!
The patrons of the Kitty Cat Club applaud and whoop and whistle their appreciation for the lovely Patricia Matthews, who smiles and retires to her dressing room backstage, and who should appear beside me but my dear friend George Lorimer.
Okay.
Blah, dang it.
Was that a confession?
What do you mean? Oh, when she said, I confess, I'm the murderer on the Orient Express.
Or is she just being poetical?
It's like, you know, you might be able to compare this song to a James Bond theme.
Okay.
I'm not going to say okay. Which one.
This is Snake Eater?
It's like, kind of. Like, okay. the singer in the movie is going to sing a song that fits with the themes
right,
of the movie.
Right, right.
Even if... It doesn't literally connect.
Yeah. Okay. I liked it a lot. Because,
what? You're going to have the singer sing something that has nothing to do with what's going on?
No, why even have a song if you're going to do that? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody does that.
Well, idiots do.
So did you... Have you been, sitting here with a guitar... What?
I'm in my office where I always have my
guitar. We always have your guitar. Okay. That was really good. I liked it a lot.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I kind of think that you need to dub that into every copy of Ryan Vieter's Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express now.
Well, no. In the text adventure version, it just tells you the chords.
Oh, okay, so you can get your own guitar.
Roughly to the tune of Thunderball by Tom Jones.
Oh. Okay.
So it's the same exact the experience, same exact. But okay. In textual form.
Okay, okay. Examine George.
Examine George. George Lorimer is the manager of Patricia Matthews. His success is her success. No, her success is his success. Or to speak accurately, his success is 10% of her success.
Right. Talk to George.
Talk to George. My dear Mr. Lorimer, what a pleasure it is to see you. I saw you enjoying the show, Lorimer says. You're lucky you got to see Patricia. This is our last show here in Istanbul.
No.
And where will the lovely Mademoiselle Matthews be performing next? George looks at the stage darkly. We shall see, he mutters. We shall see.
Why is that so ominous? What's going on? Why are these people like this?
Perhaps it is a clue.
Is it a clue? Can I take it?
Take a clue. I already have that.
Oh. Yeah, I guess I do. I have 13 of them. Okay. Okay. Were there any other nouns in here? I think not. Stage?
Let's look. Because the room description will have changed dramatically since it does not have a song in it now.
Mm.
The stage is empty. Patricia Matthews is backstage in her dressing room. But my dear friend George Lorimer is here. And on the floor there is a bloody necktie.
Ooh, examine necktie.
Such a thing does not escape the notice of the great Hercule Poirot.
That's good. You'd be a real shit detective.
Okay, mark it at 156.15.
I know I'm not supposed to swear on this thing, but...
You are allowed to swear,
but you have to bleep it out. Yeah, yeah.
So that I don't have to mark this as explicit.
Right. It makes une différence.
Ouais.
Ouais.
Parce que les mothers, les mères, en français, avec leurs filles.
Oui, oui, oui.
Écoute. Les podcasts.
Oui, 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 oui.
They will send me the angry emails.
Oui, oui, oui. Je définiment sender les ouais. emails en gros de le Taskmaster programme que je veux avec ma fille. Ma fils?
Je ne sais pas.
Yeah. Even though j'ai utilisé de langue rude.
Ouais.
Ouais.
I was just thinking about how I don't know what the word for rude in French is.
I don't either. Like, we should know that.
I should know that?
Yeah.
But is it like how fish don't have a word for water?
I don't know, but did I ever tell you about the person who worked on the farm one time with the Worldwide Opportunities in Organic Farming, or WOOF program? Who was from?
I remember you worked at a farm.
Yeah.
I know that part.
Yeah, so he was French. He was the Frenchest guy I ever met. And one morning I caught him squinting into the sunrise with a cigarette in one hand and a giant cup of coffee in the other, complaining about the cheese in America. Straight up.
Wow.
And I was like, this is the Frenchest thing that will ever happen to me my entire life.
And then he like called up his boss and he said, okay, I did it.
Yeah, he's like, can I go now? I have deployed my mission. Yeah, no, our cheese, because we're afraid of bacteria. We're afraid to just throw some milk into a cow stomach. And that's why our cheese isn't good. Yeah.
Quel dommage.
Quel dommage, indeed. Okay. Oh, do I need more clues? Any more clues? Okay.
I have to decide. I have to figure out what a good place to stop.
Yeah. Because let's assume that I'm not going to get, if there is a set piece or anything, that would be a good place to stop.
No. Yeah. Yeah. With 13 clues, I think. Hold on. So, do you know about my big boards?
I don't know if I know about your big boards.
When I make a game, mm-hmm. a game of any complexity, mm-hmm. I draw the map several times in, like, notebooks. Mm-hmm. As I try to get a hold on what the map should be and what all I want there to be in the game. But it's always, like, it feels stupid and useless because I'm drawing the same map over and over again. But, like, drawing it over and over again is part of figuring out what there is. Mm-hmm. And the changes might not actually appear in the map, but it's useful.
Yeah.
But then, when I am pretty sure I know what's going on, I make the big board.
Big board!
Which is where I have a big sheet of poster board or a bunch of butcher paper. Mm. And I draw the whole map. So that every room in the game is a different square or a different circle, and I can see how they're all connected. And if there are different regions, then they're in different colors or whatever. And each one has little notes on it about what needs to happen here, what needs to happen here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I tape this up over my desk. And so I can see, while sitting at my desk, the whole game, everything I need to do to finish the game. I don't need to, like, open some extra file,
right.
You know, that's or, like, smart. Get into one of my notebooks. I've got it all there in front of me above everything else. And typically, depending on the project, the big board is like a checklist in itself. I will, when I finish making a room, I'll get up and I'll X out that room and that shows that it's done. So here, the big board for this game, because it's so friggin' huge, mm-hmm. is a piece of butcher paper that is big and makes this much noise.
I was going to say, if you decide to pivot to ASMR content, that butcher paper is great.
I have butcher paper, and I write the whole game on the butcher paper. I don't know how to do the voice correctly.
I think that's pretty good. I'm going to try tapping. There we go.
That sounds terrible.
I know. I don't like tapping. I don't like tapping, so I don't know what people who like tapping enjoy.
So I was looking at this, deciding, trying to figure out where would be a good place to stop. You know what we should do?
What should we do?
You should go back to the observation car, which where you haven't been yet.
Go back to a car where I haven't been yet?
Well, it's backward from the dining
car. Right. Oh, so it's right.
In spatial terms.
Yeah, I think I just heard that exit and ignored it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go there.
Let's go there. You know, let's observe something.
5 to 10 minutes, whatever. Yeah.
Let's observe. Let's behold.
So I'll go out, enter train, and then I'm enter in dining train. Car. So we'll go back. Observation car. And what you should know is that the door into the observation car has a 12 on it. So you need a 12.
Oh, I needed 12. Okay, so I couldn't even get here.
Exactly.
Okay. Great.
I mean, exactement. Observation car.
All right.
Beautiful scenery passes us so quickly on the left and the right, but the sight is spoilt irredeemably by the repulsive crime of murder. My dear friend and secretary, Miss Euphemia Lemon, is sitting on a bench here reading one of her books.
Oh.
This is the rearmost car of the celebrated Orient Express, the most opulent train in all the world. Forward is the dining car. If I wish, I may exit the train here. No one will dare to stop me. The celebrated genius, Hercule Poirot.
Okay.
The dedicated genius? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Dedicated to your geniosity.
Good thing I wrote celebrated.
Yeah, you absolutely wrote celebrated. It's been like that this whole time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Alors, qu'est-ce que tu veux type?
Examine Ms. Lemon.
Miss Lemon is my most trusted companion. How else can it be? For in her hands are all my social and financial affairs. It is most fortunate, therefore, that she has never given me reason to doubt her loyalty or integrity, else I should be in quite the pickle indeed. Call back to pickles.
Oh, right. talk to Miss Lemon.
Mr. Prowell.
Not what I meant to do.
What did you mean to do?
I wasn't thinking. I went in without a plan.
Mr. Poirot, Miss Lemon looks up at from her book with a start. I thought I was alone. Not quite, Miss Lemon, but do not let me disturb you. I am only investigating an enormous murder. She nods and returns to her book.
Okay. Examine book.
Miss Lemon is reading The Purloined Letter, the beloved novel of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. An ingenious mystery, yet a mere fiction, and never so ingenious as the many real mysteries that I encounter and resolve each time I leave my apartments. And look at this. Of all the strangeness in the world, Miss Lemon is using a clue as a bookmark. She is a kind woman and useful, but desperately oblivious to details such as this one. Details that the detective of my genius notices without the slightest effort.
Let's take that clue.
Carefully, I remove the clue without Miss Lemon noticing.
Okay. All right. So is... I'm sure you can't actually tell me if the assumption that there is one clue per location...
Correct. Set assumption?
Set assumption?
C'est fausse. Absolument fausse.
Quel shocking!
The number of clues per location varies.
Le gasp. Okay. So what other nouns were in here?
Bench.
Bench.
Scenery.
Is the scenery going to tell me it's scenery? Examine no. Scenery.
Scenery. It's a crazy thing, actually, to have an item in an informed
called scenery. Game called, oh my gosh. Scenery. Yeah.
I think I had to do some circumlocution.
I bet you did.
But it really messed with my head for a few seconds. Yeah. It seems as though the world will not stop for the Orient Express. No, the Orient Express will not stop for the world. And I will not stop until justice is done.
Right. Okay, examine bench.
Alors, here is a bench from which to admire the scenery, or in Miss Lemon's case, to admire a novel by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And what is sitting beside Miss Lemon? Her quiet reading companion. It is a clue.
Take clue.
Alors, deux clues.
Deux clues.
One sal.
Wow.
One sal.
Okay. Well, surely.
So what we're gonna do? We're gonna keep on going until we hit like a nice high point, and then we're gonna. Leave on that high note.
Okay.
So you just have to find something good. Keep on typing until you find something good.
Okay.
Or if you get really bored, just laugh really hard at whatever you want and say, wow, Ryan, that's the best joke.
That's the best joke ever anybody's ever written. I liked your little gray cells in the prison. That was really funny. And then you got mad.
You gotta understand, I was so proud of myself for letting the joke just lie there and not making any more of it. I was like, this is just for the reader. It's not, I don't get to laugh at this at all.
Yeah, but I feel like I get to laugh at it.
Well, you are in a strange position, Jenny.
I am in a strange position. It's true. Am I Yub? Like, am I more closely aligned to Yub or am I more closely aligned to you?
You have hit the nail on the head.
Oui, oui.
The very nail avec ta marteau. Ton marteau, I suppose. Comment dit-on nail? Because I know that's like Old English
in
origin. So the
great
Frenchy
question.
Way of saying it.
Frenchy way of saying nail.
Je ne sais pas.
Moi.
Alors.
Moi non plus.
Type something else into the game. We're not
okay.
Done.
Okay. Should I? Was I brought to the observation deck for more than this?
There is more to be done, yes.
There's more to be done in the observation deck?
Or to leave from the observation deck.
Okay. What if I type observe?
Observe. That is not a verb I recognize.
Okay, okay. Then I shall leave from the observation deck. Oh no, streets but where will I go? Budapest. Streets of Budapest.
Ah, the colors and sounds and smells of Budapest. Is there nothing finer? Though all are free to wander the streets as they please, really there is only one place to go, the famous Tower of Budapest, or else I may return to the train station and the famous Orient Express.
Well, there's only one place to go, Ryan. We need to go there.
No, enter the tower.
Enter the tower.
Yeah. Tower of Budapest. The walls of burnished basalt. The fountain of black marble. What a thrill it is to see it all in person. A massive stairway ascends into the higher reaches of the tower, but the presence of a less impressive stairway leading underground does not escape Poirot, or I can go outside.
Okay. Examine fountain.
Ah, Lord, the fountain. The fountain is undergoing repairs, and there is no water in it at the moment. Alas, in the marble fountain is a clue.
Take clue.
Gotcha.
Let's try up.
Office. In this office, I see my dear friend, the industrialist Ralph Walton. He has a knife in his hand. Oh. Lying before him is the dead body of a rival industrialist, Henry Reedburn. Nearby is a desk. Obvious exits are down to the main level of the Tower of Budapest and up through a door.
Examine knife.
The newly minted wealthiest man in Bucharest has a knife in his hand and a look on his face of absolute flummoxedness. Even the richest and most powerful among us are not immune to the baffling powers of a true mystery.
Talk to Roger.
Alas, I can see no such thing. I think you mean Ralph.
I do mean Ralph.
Talk to Ralph. My dear Ralph, how came you to be holding a knife over this grisly tableau? It's the dattest thing, Poirot. I came upstairs to ask Henry if he'd like some toast points, and here he is on the floor. Found this knife nearby. Do you reckon we ought to go tell the authorities? Dangerous to jump to conclusions, I say, stroking my chin. Better that you remain here and speak to no one. I shall conduct my own investigations.
Okay. Examine body.
The body, just like that of my dear friend Daisy Armstrong, has been stabbed over and over and over again. Are the cases connected? Perhaps.
So our toast points, are they like, are you using the entirety of the piece of bread? Like, what is a toast point? Is it triangular?
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for playing my game.
It was a Jenny. Pleasure to play your game, man. Thank you,
listener, for listening.
Thank you.
And, you know, like, if you're listening to this right as this episode comes out, it probably is still a Patreon exclusive. Mm-hmm, and so the only thing you can do is pledge to Ryan's Patreon, patreon.com/rcveter, and then you'll get access to the game. But like this podcast will exist forever.
Whoa.
This file and the MP3 format are eternal.
Even after the apocalypse, when you're in a bunker,
probably when you're listening to this, in your bunker,
with your beans.
You can just Google Ryan Veter's Agatha Christie's, The Orient, the something murder attack. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You know, that's how you get it.
And then you can look up what toast points are.
Yeah. If you think that's important. If you think that's important to research before you write it down in a game. Seems like a weird priority on your part, but okay.
I mean, it's really funny to me because you don't need to know. Like, that guy already knows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you need to know? The guy who was even going to eat the toast points is dead.
Absolument. And with that, we play the fun ending version of the Clash of the Titans theme that goes like this.